As I mentioned earlier, I have never been particularly concerned about what is called the church calendar. And on this first day of the week, I have often reminded people that every Sunday is a celebration of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead on that first day of the week all those centuries ago. And so we can rejoice Sunday by Sunday that the Lord Jesus, having died, rose again from the dead and subsequently is alive forevermore. But when you come to speak about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, after so many years, it's always difficult thinking of something different to say that has not been said before. Indeed, if I were to say something different from what was said before, then you might think this sounds like a new heresy. And so it is always a challenge to the preacher to think of what to say that is new and yet is old. But I think that this morning we're going to look at a verse from John chapter 11 that we read earlier that I don't think I have preached on before. It's possible I might have dealt with it in passing when we were going through the Gospel of John. But this morning we're going to be considering that verse in John chapter 11 and verse 25, where Jesus responds to Martha when she is concerned about the fact that her brother has died. Martha says to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" For so many people, death seems the end. That's it. It's all over. Nothing beyond death. Indeed, I have often challenged people when they say that it is good to be moral and upright. And I say to them, "Well, I'm glad you think that, but if you're not going to face God at the judgment after you die, where on earth is your motivation to live a good life, since you are not going to be rewarded or punished for how you have lived?" Every time we attend a funeral, we are reminded that death is inevitable. As Benjamin Franklin famously said, there are two certainties in life: death and taxes. We are all going to die unless Christ first returns. But when we die, we do die and await the judgment. Paul, speaking to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, that said, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." The resurrection is certain, and following the resurrection will come the judgment. So here in John chapter 11, we have a situation where Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, was sick and died. And his sisters, Martha and Mary, were grieving. When he arrived, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus arrived not just to give them comfort, but to demonstrate to them that he, as the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, had power over death. Each one of us must consider that one day we will die. And what hope do we have following our death? Martha demonstrated that she had a future hope. She believed that there would be a resurrection. Verse 24, Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." She might have had in mind that verse in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." The Sadducees, remember that at the time the rulers of the Jews were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They believed this life was all that there was. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 6, we read that the Pharisees say there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. But the one thing that we learn from this verse in John chapter 11, verse 25, is that the resurrection is not merely an event. The resurrection is a person. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." There are several "I am" statements throughout John's Gospel. The "I am" statements are very important because they indicate to us Jesus' conception of himself as God in the flesh. It's a hark back to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. When Moses at the burning bush is speaking to God, and Moses said, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Here Jesus is not saying he can give resurrection. Rather, he is the resurrection. He is the one who brings this about. Jesus makes clear that resurrection is not just something in the future, but in him it is a present reality. It tells us that Christianity has to do with more than mere beliefs, accepting a certain set of doctrines, but it is about a relationship with the living Christ, the risen Christ. And we are said, when we are born again, when God gives us new life, the scriptures tell us it is like being raised from the dead. We are dead in trespasses and sins by nature. But God, in his grace and mercy, gives us new life. He spiritually raises us from the dead so that we are able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we can have the forgiveness of our sins. Death, of course, is the result of sin. We learn this from Genesis chapter 3, where Adam is told that he will die, he will return to the dust. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we are warned that the wages of sin is death. But then it follows, "But the free gift of God is eternal life." For believers, death is merely a doorway into a glorious eternity. It is not a dead end. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "When this perishable puts on the imperishable, and when mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?' The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Dealing again with the Pharisees, Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 32, he says, God says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When you encounter people who say, when you die, that's it, until the resurrection, well, Jesus says that Abraham, Isaac and Jacob were alive and are alive now. They are in eternal glory, but they do not yet have their resurrection bodies. The time will come when all are raised from the dead and we will be given resurrection bodies. Those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will receive glorious resurrection bodies, that we're able to dwell with Christ forever, enjoying fellowship with him. Notice that Jesus speaks about whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Whoever believes in him. It is not about good works. It is not about rituals. It's not about any religious performance that we might do. Rather, it is a gift. The resurrection life is a gift received by faith, as we've previously seen in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of your own. It is the gift of God. And people will ask, as Paul asked the question in 1 Corinthians 15, so what's the resurrection body like? 1 Corinthians 15:42. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonour. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. And he uses the illustration of a seed planted. You plant a seed. When you look at the seed, you don't think when it grows, it's just going to remain looking like a seed. It grows and it flourishes and it becomes a great plant. Indeed, it can become a gigantic tree. And so it is with the resurrection of the body. It's difficult for us to conceive what the resurrection body will be like, but it will be so much better than the bodies we currently have. For one thing, the greatest thing, is that they will be bodies without any taint of sin. And so we have, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a glorious hope. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore encourage one another with these words. Some of us remember the funeral of Gertrude Booth, and it was commented by several of the people of the village who knew Gordon. How is it Gordon can be so full of joy at the death of his wife? And the fact is that Gordon knew that she had gone to be with the Lord Jesus. And he could rejoice that she was going to be raised from the dead and have a glorious resurrection body. In spite of her physical frailties in this life, her resurrection body would be glorious. And Gordon had that great hope. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is described as being the first fruits, the guarantee of our resurrection for those who believe. Jesus says here in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. the present tense. He tells us that eternal life begins here, now. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have been spiritually raised from the dead and will be physically raised from the dead when he returns for the judgment. John chapter 5 verse 24, Jesus says, "Truly, truly I say to you." Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. Not will have eternal life, but has eternal life. It has not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And so even though we have trials and difficulties and griefs, we can live with the power of the resurrection within us, and we can rejoice in what God has done for us in the person of Christ. So what are your circumstances today? Some of us are getting on a bit. Some of us are thinking we have not much time left in this world. Occasionally we have funny turns and we think, am I about to die? Or is God going to give me more days, weeks, months, years of life? We do not know. But those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who know the forgiveness of our sins, can rejoice knowing that whenever God does take us, we are going to something far better and looking forward to that great day when Jesus returns from eternal glory to raise us from the dead. The fact that he has been raised from the dead is a guarantee that we who believe also will be raised from the dead. He gives us hope. Hope for the present and hope for the future. It is glorious to consider what Jesus has done for us, remembering we are sinners. We deserve nothing. All we deserve is God's punishment. Punishment for our sins. And you hear these people who say, but I have never sinned. Well, of course they have. It is fairly obvious, I think, to everyone. Every time they look into a mirror, they are looking at the face of the greatest sinner that they know. Whether they acknowledge the fact or not, I know my own heart. I know what a sinner I am. I know that I deserve nothing from God. I deserve punishment for my sins. And people might look at me and say, well, what sins have you committed? And they might think of some of the obvious things and they'd say, well, how many people have you murdered? None. Physically. How many times have you committed adultery? Ooh, that would be never. How many times have you stolen? Well, I do remember stealing a postcard once when I was about 10 years old. But not since then. But what is about my heart? What about my thoughts? What is going on in my head? I remember someone commenting to someone that a friend obviously was a much lesser sinner because that person was disabled and so therefore did not have the physical capacity to sin. But Jesus made clear in the Sermon on the Mount that sin is primarily internal. You hate someone without a cause. You are guilty of murder. You might never actually kill them, but you have had murderous thoughts in your heart. It makes you a murderer. Do you covet? Do you desire things that are illegitimate? You are a sinner. And when you start going through the law that God revealed to Moses, once you start going through that with the thought it is the internal that comes first, it is your thoughts that God knows. God knows everything that you think. And then you start to realize God knows everything about you and knows how great a sinner you really are. We can try and persuade ourselves, and we might even persuade others, what a good person I am. But if you want to face reality, you have to acknowledge you are a sinner. And if you are a sinner, then you are liable to the judgment. And the only way you can avoid the judgment is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendering your heart to him and receiving from him the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes, is a glorious thing to know the forgiveness of our sins, not because we are worth it, because we are not, but because the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins because of grace and mercy and loving kindness. The Lord Jesus Christ physically rose from the dead and is now alive forevermore. His resurrection is a guarantee to us that we too one day will be raised from the dead physically, and that by believing in him we will have life, life everlasting, life, real life, resurrection life in the here and now, but also an eternal life with him in glory. Do you trust him today? Has he forgiven you your sins? Do you live in hope of the resurrection to come? Do you live seeking to be holy in your life? Do you know the joy of the Lord in your heart, knowing this world is not all that there is, but the fact that eternal life begins the very moment that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? The fact that Jesus rose physically from the dead and is alive forevermore is testimony to the fact that one day he will return to judge the world in righteousness. And so we should all ask ourselves the question, do I believe? Am I forgiven? If you are someone who is questioning your spiritual state, someone who is questioning what is going to happen to me after I die, then it is vital, it is important, it is imperative that now, immediately, you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to Christ and acknowledge, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I can see that all that God has said is right and true. I can see that only Christ can save me from my sins and believe in him. And thus it is that it can be said in the book of Revelation, in chapter 14, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Because if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are blessed in the here and now. We know peace with God. We know joy. And hopefully we know joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we know that when we leave this world, whenever that might be, whether it's today, whether it be in 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years, however long it might be, and none of us know when that will be, but do we know and do we have confidence and do we look forward to that day when we will depart this world and be with Christ forever? Do we have that same hope that Paul had? He desired to leave this world and to be with Christ, which is far better, but also felt he needed to remain in this world for the good of the churches, in order to instruct them in the ways of God. Do we have this hope that we will rise again in the resurrection on the last day? Do we believe in the Lord Jesus, the I Am, who is the resurrection and the life? He demonstrated that fact on that day by raising Lazarus from the dead. He had deliberately delayed visiting Lazarus because he knew what was going on, and he knew that to help people understand who he was, he needed Lazarus to die. Lazarus did die. And Lazarus, having died, was buried. And after 4 days, Jesus arrived. And Jesus went and visited the grave. And all those who were there thought all he is doing is going to mourn at the grave. But Jesus says in verse 39 of John 11, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, by this time there will be an odour. There will be a stench. The body will have started to rot." I don't know if you've ever had the experience of smelling rotting flesh. I remember going walking one day and I think it was a fox had attacked a sheep, and the sheep was dead. And walking near it, it stank. And that's what they were speaking about. The body will have started rotting. It will stink. And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And Jesus lifted up his eyes and prayed to the Father in order that the people might hear his prayer and understand his relationship with the Father, and understand that it was by the power of God that he performed this miracle of bringing Lazarus back to life. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" Why did Jesus say, "Lazarus, come out," and not just "come out"? And it has been commented by many people. Well, it's obvious. If Jesus had just called, "come out," how many others would have been raised from the dead? He was only raising Lazarus. But of course, in the case of Lazarus, Lazarus subsequently died again, because he was only raised back to this life. But in the future, there will be a resurrection of the dead to a life that will last forever. Just as an aside, notice how he was wrapped up with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus when they went into the tomb. They found bindings, linen strips, and a cloth wrapped, that was wrapped around Jesus' face. In the case of Lazarus, they had to remove these. But Jesus, when he was raised, passed through them and left them behind, because of the difference between the raising of Lazarus and the raising of Jesus. Jesus raised to that newness of life, that resurrection body. Lazarus still had his old body. But the day will come, and we know not when, but Jesus will raise all from the dead. And all who believe will receive a glorious resurrection body. Is that your hope? Do you anticipate that? Does it fill you with joy that one day you will have a renewed, sinless body like the Lord Jesus Christ? That can be your hope. That can be your certainty. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you know in your heart that your sins have been forgiven because of the work that he did upon the cross. So I hope and pray that today all who hear will know that this is true of them. And if you have any doubts, then I urge you now to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive this hope, this certainty, the forgiveness of sins, knowing Christ as your Saviour, and that you will seek to live this life to the glory of God until that day when he takes you from this world to be with him forever, and looking forward to that day of judgment when you will receive a resurrected, glorious, eternal, perfect body, all because of what Jesus did for us in dying for our sins.